Welcome to the Metamorphosis course. This is the Make My Body audio lesson. It has been, I'd say something like 5-6 years since I initially recorded on the Make My Body. It might even be longer than that. But a long, long time ago, I released, I believe the first thing I released was an audio recording. It might have been a podcast, but I released an audio recording called Make My Body Hot. And of some of the things that I've done, that was a particularly popular one. And obviously you can understand why, because everyone's such narcissists and only care about how they look. No, not true. Because I believe I was one of the kind of vocal parties that went against the grain in the strength training mobility evidence-based community, which that cheered and championed the fact that women can never get bulky, that men can't get bulky, that a lot of the myths and stereotypes that we have about gyms and training should be alleviated, that women should do things rather than just worry about how they look. They should be focusing only on getting strong. Not that any of that is bad. There's nothing about that that's bad. There's nothing about, and I understand where they were coming from. And I even stated this then, that I applaud and celebrate the reasons that trainers kind of railed against a certain kind of female physique desire or a male physique desire, because there is a tendency in all of that to encourage misogyny, patriarchal kind of stereotypes, oppress women, oppress men. And of course, none of that is anything that I would want to encourage. However, like with other subjects in which that I sometimes can go against a certain kind of grain on, I don't believe in educating or getting to where we need to be by lying. Much like my cases and my issues with vegetarianism or veganism, I believe that you should get there through brutal truth, not by scaring or taking people, just lying to get there. So I don't believe in lying to get there. I believe in empowering women. I believe in empowering men. I believe in training and getting strong. But I don't think that you get there by manipulating people. And I take great issue with it. So because of this, if you look at the summary, one of the kind of summary topics is how to focus and shut out the noise. I'm starting a little backwards, and I'm going to hit that first. And the reason I'm going to hit that first is because I think it's going to be really hard for you to listen to some of the things that I'm saying if you don't kind of shut out a lot of what you hear sometimes in the industry that is built around empowerment, and that's great, but also built off of lies or half-truths. So if you see people talking about women can't get bulky or men can't get bulky, or, you know, being strong, you don't add muscle, you can get strong without adding muscle, these types of things. Don't be confused, men or women, like this kind of body type. Or the reverse, by the way, men don't like women that have muscles, women don't like men that have muscles, whatever. Anybody's opinion, go ahead and shut that out, because this isn't really about opinion, other than your own. This isn't really about that. This is more about understanding what it is that you want to create and how to follow the course of creating that without getting in your own way or letting other people deter or reroute you. And one of the first and most important things to do that is honestly to stop following a lot of online trainers and fit. But I mean, that's kind of true. And this isn't about me trying to monopolize you or monopolize your time and only make you listen to me. There are people that I think are good to listen to. But I will say the majority are either speaking to the general public which sometimes understands things more as far as society goes, but they don't ever understand so much a bunch of body mechanics or science or things like that. Or you have people that understand more of body mechanics and science, but are speaking to a very particular subset or crowd or a type of individual in which that may not be who you want to be physically or may not appeal to what you want to be physically. So if you look at it like that, you're trying to break down or find within all of that someone that understands both. I'm not saying I'm the only one. I'm saying that I'm one of few. And that there aren't a lot. And the reason there aren't a lot is because you have to get outside of your own biases or issues and kind of just report on the truth, which is the bulk of what my work is. I have some opinion, I have some anecdote, but I also just try to speak the truth. So the truth of training is that whenever you do training or don't do training, whenever you do strength training or don't do strength training, how you eat or how you don't eat, it's all going to affect you one way or the other. I do not understand the whole women can't get bulky thing. It blows my mind. I don't understand how you can preach that doing this type of training can gain muscle and that muscle can increase your metabolism, but then the next minute you're saying, well, women can't gain muscle. It's so hard to gain muscle. I don't understand what you're talking about. Don't scare women off the weight training. They can't gain muscle. It doesn't, Jesus Christ, it doesn't make any sense. So as a female or as a male, you can in fact gain muscle with weight training. I know, it's shocking, but you can. And you can gain more than you might want to for your particular look or aesthetic. You can also have a hard time gaining that muscle for your look or particular aesthetic if you're a male or female. Depending on what you want is how difficult or how easy something is going to be. And the truth of the matter is that the more that you lean towards wanting extra muscle or having a greater level of muscle mass accumulated, is harder. It is harder work. It does take a longer period of time, and it's not something that's easy to do. Where I found it to be more interesting over the past many years is that since we've been speaking to women and trying to encourage them into weight training and to put down the small dumbbells and all of that, they have been taking on training programs. They have been lifting heavy. They have been pushing it. And all that is great. But the problem is, and what I've seen with a lot of people that have come to me as clients or for questions, and this is true with guys too, is that they don't like the fact that they are still somewhat overweight and body fat, even though the muscle was supposed to magically burn all the body fat off. They're still not proportioned in a manner that they want to be. And that while they may be strong, or have gotten injured in the course of getting strong, they still don't have the physical aesthetic they like. And at the end of the day, if you don't like how you look physically, and there's something you can do about it, and you feel as if there's something you can do about it, and you care personally, not you're letting your wife decide for you, your husband decide for you, an ex decide for you, anything like that, but it's just something you want to do, it's probably going to bother you. Because ultimately, we're on this earth to try to achieve things, to try to overcome things, to try to have goals. If we don't have goals, if we don't change, if the wheel doesn't keep turning, we get bored or depressed or sink into mediocrity, and we're not happy living that way. And it may not be time to focus on your body goals, and that's fine. But if you are focusing on your body goals, and chances are, if you're listening to this, you're either are focusing on your body goals, or you are planning on focusing on your body goals, then this is a really important audio lesson for you. And you need to sit there and you need to take some notes. You need to ask yourself some questions and you need to think about what it is you want. So, again, I'm starting with the last part or bullet point of this, but how to focus and shut out the noise. Just really, when it comes to how you want to train for your body type, you need to work with people to understand what it is you want. And if you don't think that you're working with someone like that, or if they don't understand what you want, then you need to either try to sort out the information yourself or get with someone who does. And I'm not kidding. If I don't have spots available, but this is something that you want to do, I will refer you to people that understand what to do, or the trainers that can see past their own agendas or their own biases and still help you get the body that you want. I have a list, both in person and distance, and I can help you with that. So, focus, shut out the noise. Now let's go kind of back to point one. What are different body types? What are some different body types in which that a person can train to have or to carry? Let's kind of start with one of the easiest, which is functional. Functional, strong, and healthy. And I should state that just because you have a body that looks good does not mean that it's going to be functional or healthy. Just because you have a functional and healthy body doesn't mean it's going to look good. So that's a type of body goal, though. And it's a type of body goal that applies to pretty much all of us. And I encourage you to kind of take a step back a little bit and do kind of clear away a bit of narcissism or perfection or society perfection. And do think about people who struggle or do not have even a full functioning body, who are perhaps missing arms or legs, or there's aspects of them due to Parkinson's or ALS or other diseases, both acute or chronic or degenerative, in which that would be happy to just be walking. And no matter what's going on, no matter what you're doing, you need to take moments and you need to step back and understand that functionality and health should be at all times your primary goal. And if that's not at the core of your primary goal, you're doing it wrong. Because while vanity can get us to goals, and I do believe in vanity getting us to goals, I do believe in being honest about our aesthetic desires. I do believe that having aesthetic desires and achieving them can alter and change the inside of us for the better as well, which not many people carry that view, but I do. Because I do believe that what we present to the world is what we see in ourselves as well. However, you need to be grateful for what it is that you have that works, be it in your mind or in your body, and you need to be taking care of that first. And health should always, always outweigh aesthetics. Health and functionality should always be at the core of what it is you're trying to do. And I can say this as someone who started out in this industry as kind of a cockier, younger, and healthier 25-year-old, that as I'm getting further and further down in the decades, that I care about the aesthetic, don't get me wrong, and I care about what I put out in the world, but I care a lot more about that functionality and health. And I imagine that in 10 more years, I'm going to feel the same way. So you need to make sure that no matter what you're doing in your training program with your setup, it's never going to be something that sacrifices that on any sort of great level. If you have to lose body fat, or if you have to lean out, or if you have to do certain kind of manipulations on weight, there are times in which that a deficit is not healthy per se. It may lead to you being healthy, but the actual deficit is a time of nutrient deprivation, and it happens. There's times that you might be run down or have insomnia because you're pushing towards a goal. It should not be the norm or every day or all the time, but it happens. But in general, overall, your health should be better because you're training, better because of the lifestyle that you're choosing, not worse. Your mindset should be better. And the training that you're doing should be better. And this is a classic thing, especially with how to alter your body. The bodybuilding and strongman and strength industries and sections are riddled with injury. They're riddled with, I mean, even you look, and it's funny because people make fun of CrossFit a lot, but I don't know how many bodybuilders I see all the time that are out due to injury. So be it bodybuilders, be it strongmen, be it CrossFit, all of these things have a tendency to put an emphasis on a certain type of body and a certain type of strength to that body and what you can handle with that body. And the truth of the matter is that there are smart ways to train over time to add muscle mass and to add strength and to be functional. And there are ways in which that are constantly pushing the edge of injury and illness. And if you're training right, it's not that injury can't happen, because it can. I know that one of my strongest times of training that I had, when I was at one of my peak conditionings, I injured my ankle I fractured my talus, and I did it doing something stupid. You know, I was goofing off. I jumped off something, and I rolled it wrong. And there's some degree that could be said that maybe if I was doing the right kind of balance training, or maybe if I was doing this, that I wouldn't have hit that injury. But it was a pretty stupid thing I did to incur it. I don't know if doing a lot of balance work or isolated ankle balance work would have done anything to avoid that. Maybe it wouldn't have, but overall, I was in a good spot. I wasn't having injuries or pains from my deadlifts or from squats. I wasn't having problems with anything. I felt good, and I looked good. I felt good, and I looked good. And that injury took me a little bit off course of what I was doing, but it happened. Those kinds of things take place, and sometimes, you know, you pop or pull something wrong a little bit, and you're not at your best game for a week or two. But if you keep consistently having injuries and you're really pushing these maxes, you have to be kind of asking yourself why and what it is you're trying to put your body through, what it is you're trying to prove, who it is you're trying to be. Because I believe absolutely in testing the limits of our abilities and pushing ourselves to different levels, but it needs to be logical and it needs to be within a reason. If you want to be your strongest at a certain kind of weight class, or if you want to have a certain kind of physique, you need to make sure that if that's the goal, then and you're gunning for that goal, and that's the goal that you want to achieve, that's great. But maybe, just maybe, there's somewhere in between in that you want to maintain a good physique, you want to maintain a certain kind of strength and ability and functionality, but you're not looking to win any medals or push anything to any sort of great limits. You're looking to be comfortable and survive in your own skin and maybe last a few years. And when you think of some of the greats through history that have kind of really pushed the edge of training, you'll see that a moderation of their lifestyle and mentality is kind of a continual focus. One of my favorite people and mentors, Tom Venuto, I think is a great example of that in the physique world. The man's a machine, you know. He never gets injured. He's brilliant. He's smart. He takes care of himself. He's not overly dogmatic about anything. He enjoys carbs and fats and protein, and he explores life in different ways. And really, you want to talk about someone that I don't feel gets enough props, in my opinion, as being a physical leader. But I don't know his age. He won't tell me his age. We've joked about this in private messaging. He won't tell me his age. But I know he's up there in, like, his 40s. He's mentioned that. And he picks on me for being a kid. But I think he looks amazing. He just hiked the PCT trail, which I don't know if any of you know this, but it's basically from going to Mexico to Canada, and looked bigger doing it than when he started, really, even though he claims he lost so much muscle. But he's just, I think, a really great example of how living a moderate life can lead you to feeling well and being better. A female example of that, Melody Schoenfeld is a vegan. She's strong. She can literally, like, bend nails with her hands and has absolutely no problem whatsoever just kind of going through day-to-day life, and doesn't seem to deal with a lot of injury or issues, and takes care of herself, and obviously has social life and skills and lives a more moderate behavior. I think Megan Calloway is another good example of that. I'm forgetting people, I'm sure, but these are people who you'll notice their weight doesn't fluctuate a lot. Their lifestyles don't really alter in that great of degree. They keep strong. They keep on top of their games. They don't have a lot of injuries. These are the kinds of people that I feel like make good role models for this type of thing. So just keep in mind that being healthy and injury-free is also important to the aesthetic, and I won't go any further on that. I won't beat you up with that anymore. You're like, okay, fine, I get it. Being healthy is great. Now, how do I look the way I want to look? Okay. So, a fit and healthy functional body is what you should be going for. I've given you that. Now let's talk about kind of the aesthetics of things and the things that you might want to achieve and wish that have to do with actually altering your body type. I've talked about some of these things before. If you've been around, you're going to hear some things repeated, but I promise you I'm going to throw some new stuff in to make it worth listening to this. As I have gained some knowledge over the past couple years. So I'm going to break this down into genders. However, you should know that I don't know how many people might be listening in this aspect as a transitioning, but I support this no matter what your gender selection is. And I will say that, how can I put this? I found that for some people who had a really hard time defining what it is that they wanted in their body type, or how to get there in their body type, is also because they were struggling with who they wanted to be, or more so whether or not they could become who they felt inside. Meaning that there's certainly, this has been true with two women that come to mind that are much happier once they transitioned to training and becoming in their minds the ultimate of themselves, which is, you know, a male. And that's who they were inside. They that's what they felt. And in training like that, and in that transition, they ended up finally getting the body that they wanted. So I'm not saying that if you're not happy with the body type that you have, then you should consider altering genders. But what I'm saying is to be open to whatever it is that you truly want to be. And if you struggle with things like that, there are people like me out there who understand that and can help you talk with your doctor, help you figure out which kind of doctor to have, how to do training for that, how cycles work for hormone usage and training. And it's something that you can do either for a male or a female. And that's fine. But I am going to speak mostly to if you are already, let's say, transitioned, or you just are a female or a male, that's what I'm going to speak to. But if ever desire a topic on that, somebody let me know. So we have, first, if you are doing strength training, or if you are involved in trying to lose weight or alter your body in some way, shape, or form, you've come across every single exercise there is, or workout there is, programs, strength, hypertrophy programs, strength programs, weight loss programs, fat burning programs, you name it. Let's start off first with A. Pick what you want, or what you think you want, as, at least for the time being, for a body goal. How do you do this, or what's one of the best ways to do this? One of the best ways to do this is, one, to try to match as closely as possible with someone who has the same height and similar, like, body proportions as you. Some people have a hard time doing this, and I understand that, and I actually have a great method of kind of figuring that out, which may or may not go into the book. But if worst case scenario, just start Googling actresses or athletes or bodybuilders. Think of what it is you kind of want to look like. If you're like, oh, I kind of want to look like an actor. I want to look like action heroes. I want to look like this. I want to look like fighters. I want to look like football players. I want to look like rugby players, girls or boys, whatever. Type in whatever that is and height. Okay? That's a good place to start. It's a good place to start. And fighters or people that compete in some sort of weight class in general usually will have their cut weight and their height in their stats. Now, it should know that whatever their cut weight is not their real weight. So, for example, if McGregor fights at 135, he's not really fighting at 135, he's fighting at like 145 or a little bit higher than that, because usually fighters cut down somewhere between 7 to 10 pounds if they're guys, 5 pounds or so, or a little bit more they attempt to, which just starts to get wrong, they're girls, in order to hit their weigh-in. And then they eat, they refeed. It can be higher. I don't recommend it being higher, but my point is that if you're looking at a photo of them kind of walking around at the fight night, that they actually go into that fight, or promotional photos or things like that. That's more of what they usually look like, and their weight is or would represent at like 5'8 and 145 or something like that. And if you and it's really sobering for a lot of people. One of the biggest things that I try to share with people is they're like, "Oh, I'm not going to get that low in weight, or I'd never get that low in weight." And it's like, yeah, okay, go look at a fighter. And I'll be like, what are you talking about? And I'll be like, go type in the fighter, type in that height, look at their weight. And I'm like, wow, damn. Okay, I get it. People have a misconception about how lean they actually have to give in order to show muscle. And it's usually way leaner than you expect it to be. If you're a 5'1" woman, and you want to have a very slim physique with actual muscle definitions, you are looking in the very low hundreds, unless you have a lot of muscle mass on you, or you want a lot of muscle mass. And you're going to have to keep this in mind. So type in actresses or actors in which that you feel are comparable to something that you want to look like, or fighters or athletes or whatever, and type in their height and find someone that kind of correlates with you a little bit, that lines up with you as much as possible. If you can find that and you can find anything out about their weight, that's usually never the truth. That's why I like fighters, because they literally have to weigh in. If you find someone that can correlate a weight or what have you, and this individual is not very muscled, they don't have a lot of muscle on them, be it a female or a male, they do not have a large amount of muscle, you can kind of know what a base starting point is a little bit for them. And that might be a decent base starting point for you. The more they have muscle, or the more they're an athlete or trained, and the longer that they've been training, you can kind of learn and understand that you're going to have a lot of muscle on top of maybe losing some body fat, and kind of change out what your weight ratio is. I know that sounds overly simplistic, but that's really how it's done. And it's a really easy way of doing it. And understanding or going about how to figure out what it is that you need to do in order to get somewhere closer to your goal weight or your goal look or things like that. Now, you might be saying, okay, so that lets me kind of understand what I need to do with weight or how I need to adjust my weight, but what about training? Like, do I lift weights? Do I not lift weights? What kind of program should I use? Don't get me wrong. It's not easy, so I'm not going to pretend it is, and it is specialized, but here are some tips that I can give you for how to train for different styles and what that looks like. Let's say, because each one of this is kind of a choose your own adventure, right, guys? Let's say that you are trying to, let's go with male or female on this. Male or female, you're looking for a toned body and that has muscle, but it's not overly, it's a guy that looks really good in a t-shirt and has like, you know, nice forearms, but you would in no way see him and think, oh my God, like that dude must have the biggest lift effort. Jon Snow, okay, is a good example. And that perfect little golden ratio butt he has. So let's say Jon Snow for men, and something like, I don't know, Lena Headey if we're going to go for the, Headey, if we're going to go for Game of Thrones at land. But basically, toned, both of them, lean physiques, not overly muscled. Jon Snow is going to lift and work out a little bit more than Lena Headey is, but neither one of them are going to be doing excessive amounts of weightlifting or hypertrophy training, or trying to add a lot of muscle mass. That is not going to be what is taking place. What's going to be mostly taking place is a little bit of body recomposition, in which that they will tighten here, tuck there, raise there, and kind of it's more boring basic in and out stuff. Now, it doesn't mean, though, that their trainers or that people who work with them don't do crazy stuff. And let me explain how that can be the case. You could say to me, I don't understand. If it's kind of boring and basic, how come I read that they do training 4 to 5 times a week and they're eating this kind of protein diet here, or they do ketogenics there. I don't get it. If you want me to look at who I want to be, does it mean I have to do what they're doing? No. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you need to see the logics and the variables in it. So let's talk about Kit Harington, like as a person, right? One, he's still relatively youthful. He's still young, as they go. He's still a relatively young guy. And as we age, or as men age, but women as well, we add in muscle mass kind of naturally due to life moving on and moving forward, doing things, or we should. Due to our sedentary lifestyle and obesity-laden behavior in this world that's actually altering and changing for, you know, one of the first times, over the past couple decades, we've actually seen an incline of muscle, a decrease in muscle mass over time, and a loss of activity. Whereas back in the day, a lot of people who have very hard work or physically aggressive driven jobs would increase in muscle mass over time. My father is actually one of them. He's a truck driver that has to do a lot of unloading, a lot of furniture and things like that. And let me tell you something, that man's forearms is bigger this year than it's been years ago. So he's been adding muscle mass slowly over the years, little by little, packing it on because he's been doing manual labor for years. Furniture here, refrigerators there. His job's been physical. The only time he ever lost muscle mass is when he had a job transition issue. So if you're progressing in your training over years, you're lifting heavier, you're getting stronger, you're aging, you're adding on to the mass of what it is you can do, you should, by all accounts, if you keep training for years and years and years and years, you should, by all accounts, kind of get bigger as you get older. You will grow with that consistency and ability. You will damage muscle fibers, you will regrow, you will build tissue. That's just gonna happen. And you need to understand this, because if you have been someone that's done that and you say, oh, well, I'm naturally muscular, like I lean more towards like having a lot of muscle naturally, chances are what you lean towards or what you have done naturally is physical labor somewhere in your life and collected over time, a muscle mass that has accompanied that. Those who tend to lead more delicate physical activities, now granted, estrogen ratios, testosterone ratios, all of these things are going to affect it, but you'll note that people that kind of tend towards more sedentary behavior but are small under eaters and don't gain a lot of mass period, they stay kind of petite and small, fragile. Those who have a tendency to kind of lean towards doing physical activities or having strength in those kind of activities will slowly gain a little bit more muscle. And those who don't really do any of those things but they like to eat will slowly gain more fat mass and not as much muscle. So they'll be frail. On top of that, they'll also have weight. And that can be a very damaging combo. So if you look at all that and kind of what shapes out naturally, and you look at someone like Kit Harington, if we're looking at like his body type, what you'll see is that he's a young buck who's, you know, been training consistently now for a few years, been really hitting at it harder and really been training. Those years before that kind of gave him a primer, that kind of set him at a point of having a midline, a base, if you will, a foundation. Those were the most important and developing years. Anything you kind of pack on and add now is going to be the anomaly. Anyone that kind of goes above that level of where he's kind of at as a male physically, it's rare. It's rare that anyone kind of gets above that physically without really, really trying. So if men say, I don't want to get bulky, which they don't say that as much, but if they do say it, it's really hard to get above a level of like you know, Jon Snow, until you get, you'd have to work out consistently year after year and keep kind of pressing and eat for it for years upon years. And even that, you'd kind of land at a pre-X-Men Hugh Jackman kind of zone, which he had some mass to him, and he certainly was kind of a bigger guy that liked to train, but he, up until a lot of points of taking like superhero roles, had not really just dove huge into like body recomposition work. So if you kind of look at it like that, and you look at some of the actors that came up, especially years ago, like in the 90s, you look at more slenderized kind of male leads like Cary Grant or Kevin Costner or these kind of individuals, Robert Redford. You see guys that are strong, they are lean, they seem capable, and like they have ability, but they're not overly built. You don't look at them and think, my God, like, Spartan. That's what's easy to have and achieve naturally. You can keep that baseline and add on to it and go to a next level. You can keep toned and you can keep low in body weight. But if that's all you want, that's basically just kind of training for the rest of your life in a basic manner. You're talking your average strength to slash hypertrophy protocol. You be consistent in your workouts. You make sure to lift on a regular basis and stay consistent with it for years. And just, you know, do the hard gym work in and out. Just keep doing it. You don't worry overly too much about hitting really high new peaks in your PRs. You don't worry too much about doing a lot of aggressive new limits to your work. You just kind of keep at it, maybe pressing a PR here or there, maybe kind of testing new limits, but mostly you just kind of keep yourself on your game. That is your basic Hollywood guy's physique. Not your superhero Hollywood guy's physique, but your kind of basic Hollywood guy's physique, or your basic strong guy in life's physique, your farm working guy physique. This is what it kind of is. And unless there's some really strong periods of like hypertrophy, like for example, in my dad, he had periods where he had to lift some really heavy stuff. Like he really worked and busted his butt. So he went through an obvious hypertrophy phase that put on a little bit more mass. So he carries a lot more muscle mass than most men his age do. He is an anomaly in that. He's not normal. But he's still not, he's not freakish or anything. You have to keep that in mind. If you're consistent, it's going to be that. So anything that you want over that, okay, you're going to have to really focus. And this is for men, but this is also true for women. You're going to have to focus on really eating heavier, actually going into bulking phases, really working on transitioning and doing some progressive PRs, mixing up machine work with weight work, trying different angles, doing different kind of maneuvers. This is where you've kind of got to start to mix it up a little bit, where the basic kind of bare minimums might not quite work for you, unless you really kind of push those PRs and the food at the same time. Okay, so having said that about guys and kind of like the Kit Harington or whatnot, and you can kind of see where, how he became and where, so it doesn't really matter what he's doing for like 6 months with the trainer. Do you see what I'm saying? Like he might have like a little bit of alteration to his physique. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen, but that's where like tightening and adding on like a certain little level might happen. But if he wouldn't have had a certain base to work with, it wouldn't alter like that. Do you get what I'm saying? You're not going to see that same reaction or elevation happen with someone that doesn't already have a similar level of physique. Okay? Now let's talk about the women like that. When we look at the women like that, it's different in the aspect of women can gain muscle. And our society does not promote that aesthetically. Let's understand that. This really should be a two-parter. I'm going to try and reel it in though, because I looked at how much time I've already been at, and I'm like, oh my God. But still, I know you guys want this episode or this lesson or whatnot, so Let's just still dive in. It's not socially acceptable for women to be more muscled. I've been talking about this for, it's gotten much better. Even since I entered in the industry, it's gotten much better. We actually have women, and I will say things like CrossFit and Spartan races and mud races and things like that have really been cool at promoting strong women as both feminine and sexy or whatnot, but it's, they still have to have long hair and they still have to be feminine and they still have to be sexy, and it's still kind of BS, right? I don't care about any of that. I think it's all bull, personally, and maybe it's because I'm not really part of the normal heteronormative chain that allows me to kind of filter away from it, that I don't really care. However, I understand that people care. I understand that it's part of society, and truth be told, it gets really lonely to be different, especially for people in a heteronormative world. You know, people in the LGBT community are so used to being weird, you just kind of get over it. I find it's actually a lot harder for people in a heteronormative world that kind of don't understand how to match that balance with how they train or what it is they want. Maybe emotionally versus making sure they can still attract a man or a woman, but this is particularly true for women. So I'm going to just come out and say that it is abnormal in a lot of societies, in a lot of countries, for men to want to be with women that are overtly muscular. I don't care. And I don't think you should either. The dating pool will be smaller. Oh well. I understand that myself. It's really not a big deal. But if that's something that you want to do, and that's something that's stopping you, you're not wrong. You're not crazy. That's the truth. It's out there. We understand it. So either accept it or don't. But what about the in-between? It's tricky, and it's really about your own personal beliefs. If you like a more muscular appearance, and if you like having a kind of more aggressive or quote-unquote bulkier female appearance in a muscular sense, you have to understand that it comes with certain aesthetic compromises you may not be willing to deal with, but it also comes with other aesthetic pluses that you may love. You're going to have to balance that in yourself, but I will say this. It's harder to undo it than it is to do it. And you might hear a lot of argument about that, but I'm not going to argue with you about that, because if you're actually a woman who likes to strength train, if you're somebody that has a problem with getting into the gym, training for you isn't easy, you've never really stuck to programs, I'm not talking to you right now. You're not on my list. I'm not talking to you. If you're someone that loves to train, you love to lift, you love to go hard, you like training, you like getting in the gym, maybe just the diet's the hard part for you. Being in a deficit's tough for you. If you have a hard time taking time off from training, I'm talking to you, okay? Training is your thing, you like to train, and you've been doing it consistently for years, and you do not have a problem with anorexia, under-eating, or just having general energy issues with you just tend towards under-eating more than overeating, because for women like that, it's actually harder for you to gain muscle. You can run into injury problems or digestive problems or what have you, but let's say you like to eat and you like to train, I'm talking to you. You can absolutely put on more muscle than you want to, and you may not like the aesthetic or the appeal, and it's okay that you don't like it if you don't like it. It's also okay if you love it, and you love it. I don't care. But you need to understand and be aware of it, and you don't need to be lied to about it. So let's say you do not want that. Let's say you like to train. You like the feeling of training. You like the feeling of getting strong, but you don't want to deal with the bulkiness that comes with it. First things first, if you're overweight at all, and I mean overweight from your goals and what you want, first things first is you should focus on a cut. And you should get as lean as you can possibly get so that you can understand what your base is and what you're starting with. And that's just number one. And if you're like, well, what training do I do during that? It doesn't matter what training you do during that. That's your nutrition. It's not 80%. It's just 100%. Okay, it's your nutrition. So you got to be in a deficit. Now, you can do training during that to make sure that you keep muscle mass if you want. I think the effort and importance should be more focused into making sure that your overall daily energy is up and consistent. You know what your total daily energy expenditure is, and you go into a fat loss mode and you lose the fat and you get it done. You can get it done fast, you can get it done slow, but you get it done. And I wouldn't, until that time period was over, focus on any sort of hypertrophy program. I would do maintenance 2 times a week, mid-volume workouts, just to make sure you don't atrophy too bad, and watch your protein. Boom. Okay? Now you've dieted down and you see what it is you have to work with. Or you're already lean-ish and you understand what it is you want. You don't have a lot of body fat to lose or what have you. You need to see what your body looks like at that weight, that muscle, or whatnot, at least 18%, 17%. I like ideally to get to 16%. And this is if you're truly wanting to deal with body recomposition, okay? And if you're really taking it seriously. Ideally, I'd like to see somewhere around 16% before embarking on any sort of hypertrophy or excessive strength building program or anything like that. If you're worried about how to make your body look aesthetically, you need to get that low as a female. And it goes with male. The male reverse would be, I'd like to see a male get down at least to 10%, something like that. But see what it is that you look like. What does your muscle mass look like? What are your proportions? Where are you lagging? Where are you not? Do you have abs? Do you not have abs? What are they shaped like? All these kinds of things. Do you have a butt? Did you not realize you had a butt because you just had too much fat on your butt, right? Do you have thighs? Do you have quads? You just didn't realize you had quads because whatever. Do you like what you see? Do you not need to do anything now? Because most of the time, most women are dealing with fat. They're dealing with the fact that they're fatter than they want to be. They have body weight they don't want to have. That's what they're dealing with most of the time. That's what I see most of the time. Very rarely is it an issue of needing more muscle. If it is an issue of needing more muscle, it's usually only in two areas, which is the butt or the abs. maybe the back of the arms for some, but that's usually also an issue of fat. So fat is usually the culprit for most of you and your body goal needs. That is usually the issue. If fat is no longer the issue, or fat is not what your issue is it an issue of anything that you can even alter with training? Meaning, if you don't like that you don't have a more feminine shape, you can work on that a little bit, especially by kind of working on your curvature of your glutes and things like that. But ultimately, if you don't like that your chest is flat, I mean, you can either get a boob job or not. I don't care. I promote whatever. Have fun at it. If you want to do you and take the risk, do you and take the risk. I'm not judging. I'm just saying that you need to be really honest about these things and what it means and what it is that you're looking for. If you physically can't look like something without surgery and you're already lean, you're in a healthy spot and you have muscle, maybe you need to alter who your body goal is or what you think that body goal is. Maybe you need to alter your fashion to fit more with the body goal and how that works. All of these things are options that you need to take into account. But in my opinion, like 90% of women that I deal with or talk to, probably more, you need to be low in body fat before making any major training decisions. As far as bulking goes, or as far as major body recomposition. I'm not talking about just doing basic training, because that's fine. But you need to make sure that you're lean as possible. Because the problem is, let's say you even do basic training that works towards hypertrophy and it's a 3 to 4 times a week training program. Your eating is not under control. You do not understand your maintenance. You do not understand what's going on in that department, or it's not working out well. And you start lifting with that eating not right, you're going to be slowly putting on mass. And if you're doing that years after years after years, you're going to end up bulkier than you want to be. And then you have a decision to make. I'm just going to embrace it because I'm muscled more than I want to be, or I have to actually atrophy on purpose. And not only do I have to lose fat, I have to lose muscle. Great. And that's where I don't want people to be. Because it really is harder to atrophy than people think. Once those tears have been made, there's kind of an alteration that takes place that's permanent. So You have to really understand what you're doing, and you can't go about it haphazardly if you don't know what you're doing. And the nutrition is the key to that. Because you might say, well, I don't understand. I see some women that are really strong, industry leaders. Yeah, I can tell you that a lot of those industry leaders have eating disorders or have a hard time eating or are constantly on a diet. Then they're going back and forth between being in a deficit and getting strong, but they're not really eating very much, or they undereat naturally. And you can get really strong without necessarily altering your body composition if you're undereating. And that is true. Or if you naturally just kind of tends towards not overeating very much. It doesn't mean you can't get strong without gaining a large amount of muscle. You can, but muscle is going to come with it. And as the years go by and time progresses, you will see more and more tears. You will see more and more hypertrophy, and you will see more and more mass accumulated. So you need to decide if that's something that you want to do. And again, it's fine if it's something you want to do, but you need to decide if it's something you want to do. So if you're training, and that's just one type of body goal, right? You need to keep that kind of stuff in mind. And you might say, well, look, I just want to look good. And I want to be healthy. And I don't want anything to go too crazy. What do I do? Like, I want to be able to not be weak, but I don't want to gain a bunch of muscle, this, that, and the other. It's really not that complicated. I don't want to scare you off. My point is that you need to start with the right foundation, or understand the foundation you're starting from at this point. If you're someone that has done a lot of training, or that has been excessively obese, not just mildly overweight, but you've actually entered into the obese or even morbidly obese category, you also carry with you a lot more muscle mass than you might know, because you have to use that to support your body as you're walking around. And that can kind of alter a little bit the frame when you get down to the bottom, and you might look more bulkier than you might want to be. But I stand by the fact that, again, whittle it down and keep whittling it down until the smallest point that you can take, so you can see kind of what you're working with, and then build back up. But if you're someone that's been training a lot and doing all these kinds of things, you need to take into account that base. But what you can do is you can look at everything and you can say, okay, I know that I want to be physically apt. I know I want to be able to do things and lift couches and do things like that and move and not hurt anything if I fall and all that kind of stuff. If you whittle down your weight, and you know what it is you want to be, and you know what your frame is, and you monitor your nutrition, and you're not overeating a lot, or you're not having a lot of unnecessarily bulk programs thrown in there, and you're doing just your basic 2 to 3 times a week body weight training with some hypertrophy thrown in there, or some strength volume work. You know, you can even work in a 3 to 5 level. You can throw in some singles here and there, and you're not overeating. Okay, and you're not trying to really press for a bunch of hypertrophy. You're watching your mobility. You're watching your range of motions and how well that you can move. Your agility is good. You do some balance training, and you keep it to a well-rounded package of strength training. A little bit of PR work, some overload principles, some mobility work, making sure you have some balance training thrown in there. If you're doing all that and you're lean and you're not overeating, you're going to basically stay the same with little tones and tights and bits there. If you're making sure that your muscles are activating right, because usually getting what it is that you want out of your look is about activation. And most people don't know how to activate neurally, and they don't know how to fire in their muscles properly. So you understand these things. You get better at actual movement. You get better at movement patterns and understanding yourself. You will physically like what you want. You will be less injured, and there will not be such dramatic gaps and changes into how you look physically. If, however, you're constantly binging, purging, eating, binging, eating, dieting, lifting heavy, I'm going to do strength training, I'm going to get bigger on purpose. No, wait, I don't want to get bigger on purpose. Wait, what should I be doing? If it's all over the place and you're still training and your nutrition's not on point, you're going to end up with a body type you probably do not want. So it's better to do moderate training to make sure you're keeping your strength up. Cut the weight down and make sure that you get low enough to where you want to be. And then build upon there with good habits. And if you're saying to me, oh God, yeah, if only I could cut the weight because that's where my big problem is. Yeah, well, that's where most people's problems are. And that's why all of these programs usually go in one ear and not the other. And why I'm trying to work so hard and focus so much on trying to get people to understand where most of the true problems lie, which is that if you don't have a lean enough frame to start with, you're not going to really know what to do. You're just kind of, it's just clutter. It's like physical clutter on like your body. And that's not aggression, by the way. And I'm not judging. I'm just telling you what makes it easier to work with. You know, if you have a gigantic tree that you've cut to whittle, it makes it a lot harder to get those little details in. But if you take and it's been shaven down and it's handheld and you can work with it, all of a sudden you're like, okay, I can work with this. This isn't so overwhelming. That's it. That's all I'm saying. And if you're like, well, what if I want to look bigger? What if I want to look juicier? If I want to look thicker? What if that's what I want to do? Hey, awesome. That's totally fine. You don't need to get that low in your look. If what it is that you want to do is actually have like a more kind of toned, curvy appearance, then basically that's one of the easiest looks to have. It's your oyster. Just focus on some hypertrophy training. Make sure that you're eating for it. You might have periods where you might get a little too high in weight that you don't want. So you can just diet down and kind of tone up however you want to be. This grades, okay? It rises. You can do this at 16% or 26% or 36% for all I care. I don't care. That's not my point. And I don't have enough time in this to go over every single detail. My point is, though, you've got to get to your bare minimum of whatever that is to then check in and whittle, which is what I usually do with my clients. And they might get frustrated with me, but I'm like, no, we got to get lean. You tell me when to stop and where you want to stop, you know, or I give them my advice about it, but it's not me that says it. I'm not looking for crazy, vein popping striation before and after pictures. I don't care. It's about them. It's not about me. So you need to figure out where the base point is for you. If you think you get there and you're like, I don't know, you know, is this my base point? Is it not? My first rule of thumb or advice is always go a little lower than maybe you anticipated, just to make sure and see, make sure it's not like a cop-out decision. But if you're like, no, this is it, then work on the activation, work on toning, work on tweaking. If you still don't know, hire someone to help you. So I hope that offers up a little bit of newer advice for people that have been around for a while or some insight. Obviously, I could talk about this and talk about this. I could talk about different body types and different angles. But I really do hope that this gives you something to work with or to think about so that you can do it on your own, so you're not just waiting for a book to come out or waiting to work with someone or whatnot, but you can actually start to do some hands-on work yourself. The most problematic piece of all of this advice that I've given is not about the training. It's about usually where your body fat and eating levels are, and that can be one of the most hardest things to control. We all know that, and you know, there's still no magic fix to any of that. So accountability, working with people, making sure you're pushing towards your goal. It's the best advice I can give to work with people that can help you. Or to make sure you're taking things up to a next notch, the highest you can. So, good lesson, good talk. I tried to keep it under 60, and I'm just barely going to do it. Till next time.